Be taking your Bibles. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. We're going through persevering through persecution. And I went through this book again because I wanted to remind you about the coming persecution. I wanted to remind you that things are not always going to be the way they were recently. I want to remind you that they're coming against the church. I want to remind you about the new voting law they're trying to get through. And that it would come a day when we would have to hire our own staff, pedophiles and transgenders and transvestites and homosexuals, they'll shut us down. And there's coming a day when we'll have to receive them into our fellowship. Now that's their way of thinking. But that's one issue I go to jail over, right? Me and Robert go, right, over that. Robert says, talk for yourself, you know. But there is coming a different day, church. And it's part of my responsibility to warn you about that. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. You say, it's a strange text about pastors. What is it doing in 1 Peter, talking about persecution? The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. He was not only an apostle, but he was an elder. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ, talking about the cross, and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He was at the Mount of Transfiguration. And here's the admonition. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Father, I pray as I open this text, you're open our hearts to not only the responsibilities of a pastor, but also to the people. And Father, you remind us all today what we need to be about. And it's all about the Word of God. And we want to lift that up this morning. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, the theme in 1 Peter of persevering through persecution. How is the pastor to shepherd the flock of God through persecution and through a pandemic? And I've told you before, and I don't want to say it over and over, but the last year has been one of the roughest times in my pastorate. Amen, Brother Robert. Leading a flock through a pandemic and remaining faithful. In the face of persecution, the church needs faithful leadership that the flock can look to for assurance and stability. Note the phrase in verse 2, feed the flock of God. That word feed there means to attend. It means to shepherd. He's saying here, shepherd the flock of God. It's not his flock, it's God's flock. Philip Keller said this, and you may think this is funny, but there's a reason why God used the word metaphor for a sheep, to call us sheep. He said this, it's no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep. The analogy of believers as sheep is striking. Why did God choose to use the metaphor of sheep? Well, he says, number one, sheep require endless attention and care. Sheep stray and can't find their way home. Any of you, is it hitting home with any of you yet? Sheep need a shepherd to guide them, provide for them, lead them, protect them, and rescue them from danger. Sheep spend most of their time eating and drinking. Sheep left to themselves will eat both healthy and poisonous plants. I hope y'all making a spiritual application, right? Sheep need to be led to good water and good pasture. Sheep, when attacked, are helpless against predators and are easily panicked. This man Keller just described all of us, right? Peter understood the imagery when he called believers the flock of God and commanded pastors to shepherd the flock. The apostle is writing to elders of various churches in Asia Minor, and he's also writing to pastors today. He exhorts them with several fundamental commands that we're going to look at this morning concerning shepherding. And that's the title of the message, Shepherding the Flock. Number one, I want to share with you the want in shepherding, the who in shepherding, the how in shepherding, and the why in shepherding. Let's look at verse 1. First of all, the what in shepherding. The Bible says again, the elders which are among you I exhort, whom I am an elder. He was not only an apostle, but later on, elder is a term for leadership in the church. He was a leader in the church. And so he refers back to people who were suffering in persecution, right? That's what the whole book is about, right? Do you see how he addresses the pastors now in light of the persecution, right? He exhorts the elders to shepherd the troubled, struggling sheep. I hope you saw what that man said about sheep, because, folks, that's why it's difficult to shepherd a flock. The Holy Spirit affirms the spiritual leadership to pastors and to elders. Church was established, what, on the teachings of the apostles and prophets, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And these days now, he's spoken to us through his Son, the written word and the living word. And he's given offices in the church, that of evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that equip and bring the congregation to maturity. They are to exhort the believers. They are to come alongside to encourage and compel in a certain direction. See, that's one of the jobs that pastors don't like. We like to get up and explain the Bible, but we don't like to exhort people to obedience and repentance, right? That's a hard task to do. And don't ever get discouraged if your pastor ever does that to you. Well, I'm only talking about myself, ain't I? But because that is a responsibility of the pastor to exhort the sheep to obedience. The pastor feeds, cares for, leads, guides, guards the flock. The word of God here, feed, means shepherd, to tend the sheep. This is why he said, what did he say there again in verse 2? Feed the flock of God which is among you. You cannot shepherd and you cannot tend the flock unless you're among the sheep. See? Now, the Bible teaches us in the New Testament there are three interchangeable titles for spiritual leadership. There's elder, that speaks of spiritual maturity. Bishop speaks of oversight and overseer. Pastor, that speaks of shepherding the flock, feeding them, teaching them the word of God. And it embodies all aspects of the pastorate, I believe. So the what in shepherding is feed the flock of God. See, when you come here on Sunday and Wednesday, I open this Bible and I tell you what it says. I just don't open up the Bible and close it and tell you what I say, right? I tell you what the Bible says, right? Y'all awful quiet this morning, okay? I'm going to have to get a few more amens or we will be able to go to the second shift at Sonny's, okay? And we teach the word of God. We're not like Joel Osteen here. You raise a Bible. This is my Bible. I will do this. I will do that. Then shut it and give you a bunch of hogwash. We explain the Bible. We exhort from the Bible to change a behavior or a belief. Amen. Right? Amen. So that's the what. Now look at the who in shepherding, verse 2. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you. That's the who, the flock of God. Now, the pastor teacher is the shepherd of the flock. They belong to God, right? On loan from God to the pastor. God has entrusted them to bring to him, that pastor, to bring them to maturity. And so shepherding is done among the sheep, right? I know some of you probably over the years thought I've been a little nosy in your lives. But I'm to shepherd you among the sheep, right? I want to know what's going on so I can pray for you, right? And so I can know how I need to talk to you about the Bible, about the Word of God. After Jesus ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to empower the church, Acts chapter 2. He gave gifts to men, and he gave gifted men to the church to bring the church to maturity, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, so that you may do the work of the ministry, right? And you have your ministry, I have my ministry. And we're here to do it all together as God has designed it. That's the key to church growth. The pastor teaching the word of God, the people doing their ministry, and the body of Christ is edified in love and grows. That's the way it works. One Bible teacher said this, flock brings to mind all the shepherd imagery found in the shepherds, in the scriptures. The sheep, gentle, defenseless, straying, needing a shepherd, scattered. The flock was brought with a great price, bought with a great price under the care of the earthly shepherds and the heavenly chief shepherd. I know pastors, Brother Robert, use the word under-shepherd, but I don't see that in scriptures. Jesus is the chief shepherd, and I am the shepherd of this local flock that he has given to me, right? Under-shepherd is not in the Bible, though we are under Christ. The who in shepherding, then, is the flock among you. Do you know that today there are pastors that won't visit the people, won't go, even when before we had COVID? He said that was a deacon's job, you know? And I agree, they need to help. But he leads by example, right? You shepherd the flock of God. And you get involved. I'm not a CEO who gets up here on Sunday and just preaches the Bible and has no interaction with the flock, right? The who in shepherding is the flock of God among you. Now notice thirdly the how of shepherding, verses 2 through 3. Notice what he says. How? Taking the oversight thereof. By the way, if you want to write these down, I didn't outline it this way, but the three responsibilities of the pastor is to preach and teach the word of God, take the oversight, and be examples to the flock. But he says, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, King James, for being greedy, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Taking the oversight thereof. The word here, oversight, means to scope over, to look upon. Shepherds watch for the sheep, watch out over the sheep as they lead and they guard and guide and they teach the word of God. They don't do it by constraint, by compulsion, but do it willingly. Faye can tell you, she's lived with me all of my married life. That didn't come out right. But she knows all my pastorate life. She knows there's never been a time that I have done anything I do in this church by compulsion. I do it willingly. Right, Faye? Right? I get a call. You don't have to call me 8 times to get to the hospital unless they have more COVID shutdowns. Right? And I'll be there. And y'all can testify to that. He doesn't do it by compulsion, but willingly. It's kind of like the old man that, y'all heard this over and over. Preacher wouldn't get out of bed, you know. Alarm clock went off twice, and he just rolled over and went to sleep. His wife went in there trying to wake him up, says, honey, you got to get up and go to church today. And he said, give me one good reason. She said, you're the pastor. You got to get up and go. Don't do it by constraint, but willingly. Be a willing, eager servant leader. He must be diligent and passionate, and don't serve for greed, but do it eagerly. And I want to go on record right now and tell you, we appreciate what y'all have done for us in your prayers and monetarily as well for the last, it's getting so many I can't remember now. I think it's going on 19, be 19 May whatever. So I appreciate that. And then he says in verse 3, be an example to the flock. A lot of pastors are not examples to the flock, and then they wonder why the flock is just straying and running around, not knowing what to do, you know? Be an example. Look what he says here. I don't want you to miss this. This is another nugget here. He says in verse 5, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Shepherds are to be involved in the lives of the sheep and model a godly pattern, is what he's saying, to them to follow. Live a life before them, and y'all help me with this word. I wrote it down, but I can't have it. Trouble pronouncing, exemplary life before them. Did I say that real good? Yeah, I said it fast, and so it sounded good. But he says, but be an example to them. Lead the Holy Spirit. You know how God leads his church? He does it through a pastor and the word of God, right? You know how he led in the Old Testament? It was a theocracy. He would have a spiritual leader to lead the people. Moses, right? David, right? The church was and never should be democratic. It should be led by those that God has placed there to lead that church, right? Because he says, God's heritage. You got that underlined? I taught you what that means before. I mean, let me remind you and see what See if you remember. It means those allotted to his charge, to the charge of the pastor. God entrusts his flock to the pastor's charge. The congregation doesn't hire a pastor, but entrust themselves to the care under the oversight of the pastor and the chief shepherd. Okay? If you want to get up Ken Burgess's dander when I'm talking to somebody out there and they say, at the restaurant, they say, well, Brother Ken, we hired a pastor last Sunday. I've got to correct them real fast. You didn't hire a pastor. You called a pastor, right? You affirm God's call that he's the one that's going to, you're going to be entrusted to lead you, right? You know? And I ended up in Tallahassee Hospital. I told you all this several times, but you may forget it. You know, I don't know, but I was trying to be a super hired holy man in Adel at the church I was at. It put me in the hospital. I went down there, Faye, to be with a lady that was going to have a heart bypass. Before they come and got her, I was in her bed. I passed out. Okay? I hope you didn't take that the wrong way. But I was in her bed. After they took her out, they put me in her bed. And then I had everybody from Adel call and check on her. Even the funeral home director called. I said, I'm not ready for you yet. Plus, I'm not going to use y'all anyway, you know? And I quit trying to be a super hired holy man. If it don't get done, it don't get done, right? God has gifted you to help, right? And that's the way it ought to work. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Paul getting the elders together before he leaves Miletus and gives them some last minute instructions. He said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So that's the how in shepherding, oversight and being an example. Now, lastly, we're going to look at the why in shepherding. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. When the chief shepherd comes, I believe he's talking about the judgment seat of Christ at the rapture, they will receive the crown of glory, an unfading crown of glory that will be eternal. I believe that this is just a crown for the pastor, the faithful pastor. And isn't that what the text says? And there's coming a day when there's going to be a reward. I've preached about three preachers' funeral, and I always said that. They were faithful pastors, and they are going to receive the crown of glory that never fades away. Now, not so with everybody else. Pastor can't spend his 5 days a week on the golf course. You know, he can't do this, can't do that. He has, the church desires his sole attention. Okay? I'm not going to run for political office. They'd probably shoot me. You know, the church deserves my total, total attention. Right? Amen. Shepherding God's flock is a serious responsibility and a daunting task. As I close, I want to get up front with you just a moment here. The pastorate brings forth great pain and great joy at the same time. Many of you never know the things that I have been called or accused of in my past pastorate. In my pastorate up to now, okay? You don't know the whole story. I can't get up and tell you the whole story. That's where the pastor is at a disadvantage. But there's more to it than one side, okay? But the pastor brings great reward. It brings great joy, but it also is great pain. And I'm not saying that, but every pastor that has done what he should do is going to have great pain in the pastorate. Again, many things I can't share, many things I'm not going to share with you. I could write a book about the joys of the pastorate. At the same time, I could write a book about the pains of the pastorate. You know, and I'm glad that God restrained me many times, because I could write a book about things I wish I could have said, right? I'm just telling you, it's not all hunky-dory. I want to be a pastor, man. I want to be like you. There's a lot of negative to it, too, as well. But to me, that brings the greater joy and the greater reward at the judgment seat of Christ. I want to ask you a question, and then I'll close. You have a shepherd, right? That's one reason why, Brother Robert, I fall out with these people who say, I don't believe in church membership. I just want to be free to go everywhere I want to go. You know, that's the only way I know who my sheep are, that I'm accountable to and I'm responsible to. Shepherds needs to know who the sheep are, right? If you're not a member of this church and you come in for 2 weeks and leave, and who is supposed to be over you, right? And I want to close with this question. You may never thought about this, and y'all are good to us, and I bet y'all think I'm fixing to resign, okay? But y'all are good at us, and you're good to us, and we appreciate that greatly. But have you ever thought about who shepherds the shepherd? Who shepherds the shepherd? Well, the chief shepherd shepherds me, right? But who shepherds the shepherd? Oh, I could write a book right here, Keith, but I'm not. This is the shepherding of the flock of God. It's more involved than you may know, right? I know this is not an evangelistic sermon, but to say this, there is one, the great and the good and the chief shepherd, who died on the cross for your sins. And he died in your place. He took the wages of sin to himself that you might have the gift of life. He took the Father's wrath that was intended for you, and the wrath of God was poured out on the Son on the cross so that he might pour out his love on you, right? And when we come to him in repentance and faith, Lord, I repent of my sin. Lord, I come believing that you are the eternal Son of God who came and lived a perfect life, a righteous life. You're the only sacrifice that could have been made for me to go to heaven. And I place my faith and trust in you. I believe totally in the work of Christ on the cross to get me to heaven, not by my works, not by my merits, right? Amen. I believe the gospel. I believe the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what gets you to heaven, folks. Every week I put one or two things on our Facebook post about theology, the ABCs of theology. Some of you read them, but they're probably some of my least amounted posts on Facebook, the least amount read, right? Do you know you have no righteousness in you, Paul said? I have nothing good in me. I go to heaven by the righteousness of Christ that's been imputed to me. I didn't deserve it. I didn't wear it. When you walk this aisle, this church didn't celebrate what you're going to give in the plate. This church didn't celebrate what your past accomplishments. This church celebrated the fact that you repented and believed in Jesus Christ, right? And we're going to heaven by his righteousness. So please don't flaunt. Please don't brag. Please don't glory. We have nothing to bring to the cross but our sin. And he took it and gave us his life. And now we give our life to him to be used as instruments of his grace to bring men, women, boys, and girls to Jesus Christ. Father, I pray today that thank you for being the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the true shepherd, and the kind of shepherd that can tend this flock because you became one of us. I thank you, Father, for your righteousness. I thank you that you lived a perfect righteous life, kept the law for us, and you're the only one that can die in our place. As I read different things and see all the hogwash that's out there about, I even read something on there the other day about some guys telling tennis shoes, 666, it was something to do with Satan. Lord, our world is so mixed up. But that's what happens when a nation leaves God. When a nation no longer subjects itself to the Word of God, we're under God's judgment. Lord, help us to make a difference. Help us to speak truth. Yes, probably 3 out of 4 are not going to listen, but some will. But help us to be a witness. There's one here today that has never, they've trusted in themselves. They trusted in their work, their merit. They never trusted in the cross They glory in the cross. They never trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ to get them to heaven. I pray today will be the day they'll come down the aisle and say, Pastor Ken, I want to be saved. I want to know for sure. And you can't know for sure when you're saved. The Bible teaches us that. So I want to give them an opportunity. Father, do this service according to your will and purpose. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said,